That's a try, you feel delighted. Why will who will be critical of you? Who will criticize you? Who will sort of make some remarks about what you do? Someone who cares for you, yes? Right? I've had the schoolmasters, leave alone Swami Shivananda. Schoolmasters. There were some schoolmasters who were very polite and very, you know, gentlemanly. They wouldn't even talk to me, shout at me. Very polite. I could see that he didn't care for me at all. Whether I passed or failed or whether I was good or bad, indifferent, he didn't care. There was one who was rather tough, very tough. And strangely enough, he was the one who pursued my career right up to 1950. He was keen. He was very. He treated probably in his own heart. He treated me as his son. And as a matter of fact, his son and I were classmates. And he paid more attention to me than to him, which means teasing and all sorts of things. Oh, you make me cry sometimes. Why? That's because he had such great affection for me. Once you realize that he that trains me, even by, you know, using the rod sometime or other, he does so because he loves me so much. He cares for me. Once that is realized, then you don't resent such treatment, you love it. If the master was a bit critical, you think, oh my God, he cares for me so much that he wants that I should be even better than what I am. That love is called Dasya Bhakti. That love, which is able to see God in that master. And therefore, and then see God as the master. First I must see God in the master whom I serve, and then I'll be able to see God himself as my master. With the result that from there on, the entire universe becomes your master. Then, and only then, it's true humility possible. It is not only Swami Shivananda, not only Swami Radha, not only Swami so-and-so is my master. But he, in him I saw my master, whom I loved and whom I adored, whom I served. And I knew what it was to serve this master, love this master. Then you turn around, you see, God is my master. I served the master, the God in him, and therefore God is my master. God is omnipresent, God is everywhere. I am able to serve all, anybody, anyone. With the same feeling, with the same devotion, with the same love. Right? So again, you have a sample experience and you become aware of it. You taste it. You realize its sweetness. And nobody, there is no need for you to discuss it with anybody else. It's purely personal. Bhakti is therefore an entirely personal adventure. The soul's own adventure. And it needs no proof. Not only that, it has no proof, it needs no proof. It's its own proof, self-evident. I love the master, I love the God in the master, and I love God as my master, and God is omnipresent, I love all as my master. These are the steps. So, again it expands. You have learned to love one intensely, deeply, naturally in a limited way, and there in the depth of that person's being, in the depth of that experience, you experience God. The indwelling essence. We don't want to use the word God. In that relationship, in that experience, you go right down to that indwelling presence, deep within, in the very being of that person, of you, yourself. Once that is had, then you can turn around and it keeps expanding. Dasya, Sakya. There are a few stories. Is everybody familiar with the story called Ramayana? Not many. None at all? Only one or two. Rick is reading it. Okay. Are you familiar with a person or personality called Hanuman? In Indian mythology, this Hanuman is supposed to have been a monkey. I don't believe it. Anyhow, monkey. And that monkey was tremendously devoted to Rama as a servant. And Rama is considered an incarnation of God. And this Hanuman was supposed to have been the son of the wind. Son of the wind god. Good. Still a small fry. Compared to the incarnation of God, is a small fry. And the son of the wind is something interesting. And this monkey, before he became the devotee of Rama, was a monkey. You know what monkeys are. Tearing and destroying, very destructive. And even as a monkey, sometimes he was prone to be destructive. It is said that he destroyed a pleasure grove, a garden, in a few minutes. That kind of thing. But as a servant of Rama, the story says that he was capable of the most impossible thing, feats. He could lift a mountain, he could jump over a wide expanse of ocean, and could do fantastic things, which even this God incarnate Rama could not do. That's the fun. Rama could not cross the ocean. It was only the monkey could cross the ocean, jump over the ocean, leap over the ocean. Rama could not lift a mountain. It was only the monkey that could lift a mountain. What is the message there? If the Hanuman was the son of wind, in English it's such a very simple thing. If you turn the first letter of wind upside down, it becomes mind. So my mind and wind are interchangeable. That is why they also say that the mind is as difficult to control as the wind is. You cannot gather up all this wind here and put it in your handbag, plastic bag. And even so, you cannot restrain your mind from flowing out. But when can the activities of the mind be controlled, restrained, made fruitful, divine? When Hanuman became the servant of Rama, he was wonderful. Even so, if this mind may be made to serve God as God's servant, then the same mind works wonders, marvelous. Works greater wonders than even God. That's the idea. So when the mind and when the heart become the servant of the Lord, or when you treat yourself, when you see that you are the servant of God, God being omnipresent, then there is absolutely nothing that you cannot achieve. You don't have a porcupine personality which bristles every time somebody comes near. You are a ready mixer, easy mixer, because you are able to see God in all. God is your master, and therefore you are able to adapt yourself, and by regarding yourself as the servant of all, Then there's no problem. You don't come into head-on collision, conflict with anybody else. And therefore, one is able to achieve a lot. What is next? Madhuri, is it?
Would that be Dasya rather than
Satya? No, Dasya, yes. You know, I certainly wanted to tell the story of Hanuman. Now we go to Sakya. Sakya is friendship. The orthodox commentators on the scripture are a bit cautious about it. There have been a few in religious history who have treated God as a friend. You know, friend is a two-way traffic. Whereas being a servant is one-way traffic. You command me, I do it. That's my attitude. If I am your friend, it's a two-way traffic. I ask you to do something for me sometime, and you can ask me to do you a favor sometimes. Both ways. And there have been a few examples of such friendliness towards God. And commentators usually warn people, don't take it too seriously. One example given is of Arjuna, the disciple in the Gita. He treated Krishna as his friend. So that he could even say, come on, drive my car, become my chauffeur. God Almighty, okay, no mind. You are my friend, come on. And once, this story you will appreciate, though the other one, which I may hint at, you may not understand. Krishna had a sister called Subhadra. And Arjuna was fond of her. She was also fond of Arjuna. And Krishna had an elder brother who wanted to marry her off to somebody else. She was miserable and Arjuna was also miserable. And he heard that. So what to do now? Arjuna went to Krishna and said, what about your sister? He said, what must I do? My brother wants her to marry someone else, your enemy. He says, my God, both of us will perish. And it is said that Krishna suggested, become a Swami, sannyasi, that's the best thing to do. Don't worry about these girls, become a Swami. But then it was a trick. This Arjuna became a Swami for the time being, put on these clothes and went out to the village where this girl lived and was sitting outside on the river bank of the river. Krishna's elder brother was very devoted to the Swamis and holy men. So when he saw this man sitting there under a tree, he said, who are you? You are a wonderful, good looking Swami, come on. Come and stay with me. He said, yes, so all right, very reluctantly. And he went to stay with the brother of Subhadra. And then one fine morning, they both eloped. She was serving him, not knowing whom she was serving. One day, Swamis in those days were usually Brahmins. And Brahmins don't handle weapons. One day she noticed some telltale marks on his hands of his proficiency in archery, in shooting. She noticed it and looked at him, and he knew that she had found out. He looked at her, took off all his wigs and whatever he was wearing. And she said, it is you. And he said, yes, it is I. Come on, let's go. Both of them slipped out. So that is the type of friendship. Arjuna treated Krishna as a friend so that he could ask him to do whatever he wanted. A similar story is told of the more recent saint in South India who also treated Shiva as his friend. So if he fell in love with somebody, Shiva had to go and tell her and arrange for this wedding and do whatever was necessary. So God had to be, God could also be used in that way. That is the mischievous expression, that man is able to use God as a friend. And which is, of course, rather unfortunate that we do it ourselves, yes, in our own relationship. We use friendship instead of spontaneously helping one another. The moment you become my friend, the only thing my mind thinks of is how to use you. That's unfortunate. And, you know, because of the fact that there is this unfortunate twist in the relationship as friend, they said, be careful. And the last is Madhurya, which is the lover-beloved relationship, which is obvious, I think. And here, again, one has to be careful that in this lover-beloved relationship, God is my lover, God is my beloved. And one should be devoted to this God as the lover, without allowing it to sort of go haywire. So it must divide to ensure that all devotion is to the God in the other person, to the God who is omnipresent, not to the flesh that is not omnipresent. There have been a few instances in India where it's usually women who have adored God as their husband or lover. And there have even been some instances where they say they got married to a deity. There is a story of someone, a young girl, who fell in love with the deity in that village, in the shrine, to God, as it were. And it is said that one day they decided to celebrate the wedding. And the girl was taken in procession into the temple. And when she entered the temple, she disappeared. Andal. And I'm giving you an example just to show that this is not another crazy oriental stuff. If you study the biography of Saint Catherine of Siena, you find almost exactly the same parallel there. It is said that she had a vision of Jesus and this Jesus came right down onto the earth and married her and gave her a ring. And it is said that the ring was a real thing, real stuff. And so she became married to Jesus Christ, the bride of Jesus Christ.